Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 87, and today we're going to be talking about the song called Through the Gehenna from the Out of Gehenna album. The song is called Through the Gehenna because originally the name of the album was also Through the Gehenna, but then it got changed to Out of Gehenna. So this is a song that was in the works roughly since fall 2008. And it's not a very happy song like many songs on this album. It was one of those melodies that came to my mind, and it kind of exemplified the way I felt about a lot of things at the time. And then the lyrics just came themselves, like it usually happens. And this particular song, I'd say it's pretty angry. It's pretty hopeless. It's pretty depressing in its own way, but kind of buoyant at the same time, or maybe there is a good deal of bravado going on in this song. It kind of states some hopes, maybe, and definitely a hope for a better resolution in the end of that chapter. For the most part, it was about music and a more or less positive meaning that was put in this song. And for some reason, because this song, kind of the message of this song is, well, come what may, sooner or later things are gonna happen in a certain way, and I'm gonna meet my father, I'm gonna meet the son. That's basically the statement that is made in the song. It has sort of a positive message to it, but the message, the way the message is delivered, is not very positive, let's put it this way. And part of the reason for that is that it happens quite often in my art when I might be delivering a more or less positive or affirmative message, but the vehicle for that message might be a portrayal of the ordeal that I am going through at the time. So the message itself would be the encapsulation of hope, and the capsule itself would be the suffering. That's kind of the general idea behind the song. And I didn't rationalize through it at the time when I was writing it, but that was the underlying idea, the feeling that I was going for. And then music came in and everything just happened naturally. So in this case, like in many other cases, first came some sort of riff, something like that, a riff and a key, and from there on everything else started. Musically speaking, the song definitely has some Armenian flavor to it, or so I would think. I felt that way about this melody and about the riff and about the chord progression at the time when I was writing this, when it was getting out of me. I felt that it has some sort of Armenian flavor to it. Why Armenian specifically, I have no idea. It just happened that way. This is what manifested within myself, and this is how it made to the surface. This is what came to the surface, let's put it this way. So I don't have a good explanation on why exactly this scale or that scale music just happens. If I kind of think on this for a while and focus on the ideas that I have, then the music just shows up. Same here. Production-wise, at the time, like the entirety of the album, I was programming the bass lines and the quote-unquote guitars, which were programmed, and I didn't care much for how playable the parts are, which is going to become an interesting challenge once I get to a full remake of this album, which I will get onto once I'm done with the Take the Jive Reforged album. So this is going to be the next major remake, and we're going to see what parts will be changed, what parts will be reinforced, and what parts will be just gotten rid of. Because some of it is not going to be playable. In this particular case, I think that the parts are rather simplistic. I don't think there is going to be anything technically difficult as far as playing them. I just don't think that I would want to play them exactly the way they're written. Perhaps I would preserve some of these riffs and definitely the chord progressions as far as the hook and the verses, but I don't think that I would want to just play exactly, to play on guitar exactly what's written here. So anyways, with that out of the way and with some backstory, let's move on to the next section and do some music analysis, shall we? So, Through the Gehenna is in the key of G minor, which already is a great indicator of that it was not written on a string instrument. I didn't think of, you know, playing that on a real guitar at the time, so I just went with whatever I felt was more suitable for my vocal, and G minor just fit that perfectly. So, it's in G minor, and it's 97 BPM, so it's kind of a mid-tempo song. Not too fast, not too slow, but kind of pretty animated and energized in some sections. So the song starts right away, and that kind of that pattern will remain a constant throughout the entire track. It starts with basically the hook chord progression, a chord progression that will appear later on the hook, and then this is used as an intro, and then the melody of the hook is being shown right in the beginning, and then we're going into the verse. But before we jump into all of this, let me make a comment about the choice of instruments, because there are some weirdly distorted guitars there, which are programmed. And they're combined with some hip-hop beat, and with some synthetic, with a synthetic bass, and with some other synths. But the guitars themselves, the way they are processed, they're processed in a way so that they do have a good amount of resonance in the filter, and a good amount of distortion and gain in that distortion, because this song contains the riff and the guitar riff and the synth riffs and all of that. Contains a lot of dissonant intervals, and the trick here is that dissonant intervals, they under certain circumstances, when used with distortion filters or something like that, they sometimes produce interesting tense frictions, I would say, in terms of acoustics, in terms of sounds. So, for example, dissonant small intervals like this, when they overlap notes like this, they create interesting tension, interesting dramatic tension. And so I've deliberately filtered the programmed guitars in this song in a certain way so that they would create as much tension as possible without making the song actually a heavy, without making the song a rock song, basically. It's not a rock song, at least not in this iteration. So let's listen from the beginning through the intro, and then from there on, I will comment, and then we'll listen to more parts of the song. There is this chord progression, which is going to be very common throughout the song. +7 because of this motion. Then all of a sudden it's not exactly a B major +7. It is for the split second, and then it is a B minor +7. But the major minor status of this chord is determined by this melodic element over here. Back to G minor. Then to C minor, -7/9, again. Back to an E flat major +7. Then a D major -7. -9 in the end. And this is the generic intro where there is just the chord progression. Then on top of that, you know, the drum loops kicks in, and the melody of what later will be revealed as the hook kicks in as well. Again, the melody, as you can see, hovers for the most part over the already existing melodic lines contained within the chord progression, and emphasizes the same chord progression. +7, B minor +7. can see at some point that there is, that it's not clearly. There is also an E flat minor contained. It's not just an E flat major. So this is the intro, and you can see that there is some real tension going on. First of all, the dramatic tension is created within the guitar riff. It's contained there because of this. This ongoing constant motion, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's very little motion, but it is just enough to create this little dissonant interval over there. Just half a tone between these two notes. And then on top of that, you also have the what will become revealed in the future as the melody of the hook, which is kind of smooth down here. There it flies up a little bit, then goes down again. And then all of a sudden, that's a pretty large leap. And then it runs off of there and goes back here. So overall, this is a pretty simple melody. It's not really overcomplicated. But anyways, let's move on and listen to the verse, the hook, and then the second verse, and everything till the middle riff, because there is a kind of a deviation in the middle section. Approaching the first verse, and of course, vocals-wise, there is just line after line that are being rapped, but at the same time, musically, approximately this is going on there. there are basically four chords. There's a G minor, which is, sounds pretty empty because it is not really emphasized. I mean, the tertiary tone is not emphasized in this chord at all. So it's just an empty fifth. And it's kind of assumed that it's a G minor. Then there is this B major, all of a sudden. B major plus 7. Back to G minor. Then in an E flat major, which is basically 2/5. It's not really a major even. It's not indicated, as far as I can see. So it's... a plus 9. Let's put it this way. An E flat major. I don't even think it has a plus 7 there. I think it's just a plus 9. And repeats. Repeats twice, and then after that we're going into a bridge, and the bridge is again nothing different from the hook itself, amazingly. It just has more of a tamed rhythm section to it, but it has the same chord progression as the hook. And then we're going into the hook, and the hook is, we've already examined what the hook actually is. So the hook repeats itself once this time. The first time the hook appears, it's just a one pass. Then after that, we're going into the second verse, and it's basically musical exactly the same as the first one, except for a few little details there and a little bit of embellishment. And then after that, again, we're going into the bridge. Again, the same chord progression is being utilized both for the bridge and for the hook. This time the hook is repeated twice, so it passes through that same chord progression two times. And now finally we find ourselves at the middle section, which is musically slightly different, but still in the same vein. It kind of breaks things up a little bit. Otherwise the song at this point would have been pretty monotonous. So let's listen from here all the way to the end, and then I will comment.
Yeah.
This middle section is comprised only of 16 measures. It's not long, it's not protracted too much. The first half of it is kind of watered down. There are only guitars that are doing something, the quote-unquote guitars, the programmed ones. And then after that, the bass guitar joins, the synth bass joins on the second half, and they kind of escalate a little bit, and then they lead us into the last bridge, which eventually gets us to the last double hook. So what's going on in this middle section? While this riff is going, it's again harmonic minor with a lowered fourth, I'd say. There is a G, F sharp. And this sounds like it's a major third, and it's not really a major third, it's a lowered fourth. So there is a C flat, B flat, C flat. And then we're going to an F sharp and back to a G. This little bit, F sharp, F natural, E flat, F natural, and back to G. And then we're going into the E flat, down to a D, up to E flat. B flat A, E flat D, E flat D. It goes on like that twice, and at the same time, this is the melody that is playing on top of all of this simultaneously, and this is also the vocal melody up there, and I'm not going to go up there because it's pretty high. And I think that in the heavier, remade, reforged version of Out of Gehenna, once I get to it, this is going to be a very interesting and very heavy, brutally heavy part. I think I can guarantee that. And so then after that, we're going to get into the just let me go. Again, the same chord progression used for the bridge, and then there is the last hook, which is a double hook. And then after that double hook, everything sort of subsides. And there's a keyboard that's playing something like this in the back, but it's not even discernible because of how distorted it is. It kind of overlaps with the beat. As the drums fade. And this is basically the music analysis of Through the Gehenna. And with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? So as you can hear, through the Gehenna, even though it might seem like it's a pretty sophisticated little song, it is not really that complicated. It has a few twists to it, like the lowered flat fourth, C-flat, that all of a sudden appears in G minor, but that shouldn't be a big surprise to you if you're someone who deals with my music on a more or less regular basis. You would notice that I'm using the flat fourth in minor very frequently, and this flat fourth sounds as if it's a temporary shift to... It has this major connotation to it. It sounds as if it's a major third in the key. But then when you hear after that a minor third, you know that, I mean, theoretically speaking, the correct way to refer to this situation would be that it is a flat fourth descending to a minor third. Not a major third descending to a minor third, no. According to the laws of the chromatic scale. So this is one peculiarity. Other than that, this is this entire song is in harmonic minor, of course, and it has a few twists to it, and it has an overall, I think, Armenian feel to it. It's kind of hard to describe, hard to put a finger on it. Armenian, or I don't think it's really Romanian. But there is something to it. And I think it has to do with the voicing, and it has to do with the motion of the hook melody, which kind of sits in the same realm in the first part of the melody, and then it makes those large leaps and emphasizes that the minor is actually harmonic. So it utilizes that seventh of the key, which is F sharp. So, and it utilizes it pretty frequently. So the fact that this minor is harmonic is being emphasized over and over again, which is frequently found in music of that part of the world. But of course, if you're not familiar with my music at all, I would like to invite you to check out all of my currently released albums. And you can find them on any major streaming platform, be that Spotify or Apple Music or iTunes or Deezer or even YouTube. You can find my music everywhere, so just simply look up Catherine Corelli, Catherine with a C, Corelli with a C, and find something for yourself, and maybe it's going to be something heavier, maybe it's going to be something lighter, or maybe something darker, because I got some heavier, darker music, and I got some pop music, which is still pretty dark. And I also want to invite you to check out my other business, which is southerncaracol.com, skin health and aromatherapy products such as all natural oatmeal and honey soap bars, shampoo bars, all natural lotions. And since now it's we're slowly entering into the colder, drier season, it's going to be windier too, you might want to consider picking up one of our lotions, maybe, or some really old natural soap, something that might help you preserve and nourish your skin now that it is getting drier and colder. So visit southerncaracol.com and pick up something for yourself or for your friends and family, and your skin and the skin of your friends and family will thank you later. Southern, from the word south, and caracol, caracal.com. Now, with that being said, I think I'll be wrapping up this episode. Thank you very much for spending your time with me. I appreciate you. Thank you for subscribing to this podcast, and you will hear me on the next episode.